wave of water that came through the village, killing 35 people. Weather manipulation. It's been going on that long. They have strontium, they have barium. It's acidifying water, it's acidifying the land. The ability to generate precipitation, fog, storms on Earth, to modify space weather, and the production of artificial weather, all are part of an integrated set of military technology.
They're spraying chemicals in nanoparticle form. The government is using HARP to be starting a storm. The water shortage is a topic they're complaining about, but they don't even want to stop it. They're creating the drought. Planes now make clouds when they spray out shit. You can see it because it happens every day now, kid. You can read the patents and see what they say about this. They make towns sick. It ain't safe to stay around this.
Every nation in every region now has a decision to make. Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists. 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 Terrorists.
Good afternoon, everybody. Earlier today, I was briefed by my Homeland Security team on the events in Boston.
I was walking down Hazel Street and popcorn at me, and then they called SWAT in, and then SWAT came and picked me up by a shield, and they threw me in the back of a car and then dropped me off in the middle of Newton.
A remarkable piece of video, and I should point out that it was provided to ABC News for free.
Speak the truth about terror. Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th. Malicious lies that attempt to shift the blame away from the terrorists themselves, away from the guilty. To inflame ethnic hatred is to advance the cause of terror. The war against terror must not serve as an excuse to persecute ethnic and religious minorities in any country.
So what did I think? I figured, fuck it, while I'm at it, why not just shoot my buddy? Take his job, give it to a sworn enemy, hike up gas prices, bomb a village, club a baby seal, hit the hash pipe, and join the National Guard. I could be elected president.
The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish.
You are now listening to The Last American Vagabond with your hosts Ryan Christian and DJ Anon. Join in the conversation by tweeting at Third Eye Radio or at TLA Vagabond or calling in at 916-633-1393. Follow the change, be the change with your hosts Ryan and DJ Anon.
It is a stark and lonely path for that of the modern day truth seeker. One that quickly earns them the label of conspiracy theorists, simply for seeking truth in this world of misinformation. Regardless of the factual information presented, or commonsensical attempts to inform their fellow Americans. This label is a pre-planned attack on one's attempt to reveal any topic which government deems too sensitive or inflammatory to openly admit. Stemming from a documented CIA operation in 1967 designed to muddle the idea of the legal term conspiracy, with that of the tinfoil hat-wearing crackpot, with the goal of discrediting anyone who questioned the mainstream narrative and granting quick cover to any story they wish to keep secret that is gaining traction by ostracizing the individual as a lunatic and sending the message, to all who join this idea will be swiftly be cast in the same lot. Despite this wildly successful CIA endeavor that has worked amazingly well for almost 50 years, we are beginning to see through the fog of deception that has clouded our perception of reality. As we each struggle to find our own way to come to grips with the earth-shattering revelation that our government has not only been lying to us for a very long time, but that this topic, so astutely named conspiracy theory, is not as crazy as we were led to believe. In many cases, quite the opposite. Whether it's due to the rise of the internet and humanity's vastly increasing interconnectivity and exchanging of ideas and information, or the planet's proximity to Sirius and its effect on our third eye, none can deny that humanity as a whole is undergoing a massive shift in consciousness, one that is truly shaking the foundation of the house that the elite built over the centuries, and took great care to insulate the average citizen from the true nature of its design. Due to the rise of independent media and its attempt to actually inform the people, Nations across the world are beginning to question, well, everything. Americans in particular are beginning to question ideas and age-old lies, which they never before had the courage or the insight to question. From fluoride in our water to the government's geoengineering program, today we are discussing conspiracy theories that are being revealed as true. Welcome to The Last American Vagabond. This is a show that, a long time coming, really. You know, we really highlight the idea of the conspiracy theory and how it compares to the reality, and how we, you know, the lies that are being told every day are continuing to increase. And so we put a little list together for you today of what we feel are some conspiracies that were considered absolute lies, and, you know, anyone that even talked about it was considered crazy, are now being revealed as true. So, and some being talked about by public officials at this point. And it's a very interesting topic.
I mean, yeah. And I still actually wrap my Christmas gifts in tinfoil, so.
Yeah, just right, just to make fun of that idea. I love that concept. I mean, I don't, you know, honestly, just to start with that fun little tidbit, I think, you know, I don't know much about where that name comes from, except the fact that I would assume it's the idea that the tinfoil over your head somehow blocks some kind of something coming from government.
Yeah, that actually all started back, I don't know when, but yeah, tinfoil, the aluminum is supposed to repel you know, signals trying to get in your head
for like whether, a Faraday cage or something, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, okay. Either like MK Ultra stuff getting into your brain hole or right. Whatever.
Which is funny, a fun place to start. It's really not that crazy. No. But the idea of an actual tinfoil hat being some kind of deterrent or preventative thing is kind of crazy. But the idea of them doing that is not that crazy. Sending signals to manipulate the way people think. I mean, this is stuff that we're dealing with today, so it's not that crazy.
I wouldn't wear tinfoil out in the heat because it's...
That's the only ways, right? Around the house, no problem.
Then it's like a baked potato on the top of your shoulders.
But I think the place I want to start today, which specifically because of what I talked about a second ago, that this is a topic that is now being addressed by public officials, by government, which is one that has been adamantly denied for a very long time. And even today that has been admitted is still being disregarded from the public, and that's geoengineering. I mean, the idea of cloud seeding, this is something I want to get out of the way right off the bat. The idea of cloud seeding, this is the comment that I get from people, that disbelievers all the time, that, oh, well, the government has been admitted cloud seeding for 50 years, which to some degree they have, but except the fact that they're not really open about it. And most people today even think cloud seeding is a conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. It's not, though. I mean, the idea of pump through anything in the environment to change what happens has been going on for a century. From, you know, not from even planes, from like catapulting stuff in the sky. I mean, yeah. You look that up. It's been going on for quite a long time.
Even if you just look at the, like, you know, chemtrails, for example, you see a hashtag in the sky that stays around for 4 hours. If you think that's a natural cloud, you are a fucking moron.
Or even if, you know, contrails. I mean, we had a great show with Patrick Roddy a few shows back talking about the difference. Yeah. So if you haven't heard that show, check it out. It's a great show. Really, really breaks down the idea of chemtrails and the reality behind it. But, you know, even contrails will dissipate fairly quickly. But the
idea of minutes.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can't hang around because the air pressure changes so
exactly.
Rapidly.
Exactly. I mean, what we're seeing now is the, like you said, hashtags that are staying in the sky for half the day, and that's crazy. But the point that I want to get to here that's pretty amazing is that, like, literally last week, the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, John O. Brennan, addressed, you know, a bunch of things, instability and you know, transnational threats and, you know, a whole topic, whole brevity of things. But he eventually got to the point of geoengineering. And I'm going to read you a quote that he said. You know, another example is the array of technologies often referred to collectively as geoengineering. Huh. That potentially could help reverse the warming effects of global climate change. One that has gained my personal attention in stratospheric aerosol injection, or SAI, is a method of seeding the stratosphere with particles that can help reflect the sun's heat in much the same way that volcanic eruptions do. Now think about what that means, probably aluminum barium. Yeah. Weird, right? So now that we're finding, you know, 70% of the nation's water, if not all of it, at certain parts of the time, being highly concentrated with aluminum barium, and that's everywhere. Check out Patrick Roddy's page on YouTube to find that. He tests water in San Francisco almost every day. And these things are they're showing up all over the place. So what he's talking about is if it's some hypothetical, you know, next year plan, is happening right now. And this is their way of kind of gently bringing people into the fold.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
It's coming right out. I mean, the simple idea of the word geoengineering is considered conspiracy theory at this point. You talk about it and you're like, oh, you're crazy. The government would never do that. Right here, they're discussing doing it. So right there, out the window. You know what I mean? And this is a topic that gets a lot of heat. You talk about chemtrails. I mean, that's one thing I recommend to anybody right now. Just get away from the word chemtrails, because that's the specific word that's been branded conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about geoengineering anytime you discuss this topic, because that's a scientific term. And it's literally what they're planning to do, already doing.
Yeah.
It's pretty shocking, though. I mean, and this is just one of many that, you know, today we're going to talk about a few of these, but I mean, this list goes on and on. Things dating back 100 years ago that we were considered completely false that are now being showed as true. I mean, you know, what's something that you think of when you hear geoengineering, Dara?
First thing I think of is chemtrails.
Right, chemtrails.
Because that's such a big thing. Like you said, the aluminum in the atmosphere reflecting sunlight. And it goes back to the whole algorithm of global warming back then, climate change.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, yeah. So chemtrails, and then let's see, geoengineering.
Well, the first thing I always think of is like what Patrick always brought up, is the idea of the foreign materials in our air.
Yeah.
And obviously they're saying that it's for a good cause and they're trying to do something, but we need to think about what that does to our bodies. Aluminum, barium. I mean, we had plenty of articles about this, and with the MSDS sheet, the material safety data sheet, that showed specifically that these chemicals are dangerous. And even in trace, you know, small amounts, they build up over time, right? And one of the important things is the idea of aluminum in the sky. I'm going to visit back on that in a few categories down, but don't forget about that one. But I would say the next big one on my list is the idea of NSA spying on us, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's one.
Good old NSA, peeping while you're sleeping.
Right? And that's one that for the longest time was adamantly denied. Like, no, 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 the government would never spy on you. They're spying on terrorists or whatever they try to justify it as. And that the funny thing was, for the longest time, they pretended it wasn't even happening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the point that I always want people to focus on, is that maybe they're admitting stuff today, but the idea is that for a very long time, they bold-faced lied to the American people. This is not happening. It's not happening. Oh, now it's happening. You know,
what I don't get about that, I mean, that is most definitely true. What I don't get is how people are so complacent with the fact that they could have been doing it from the start,
mm-hmm.
and they're all in up arms about it when they find out about it. And then once NSA or whoever officially declares it, then people are like, oh, well.
Exactly. It's, you know, that I think that goes back to the concept we've talked about of cognitive dissonance and
yeah.
and the play on the brain, where you just don't want to admit it to yourself, because it really just shakes your entire foundation. And so they just go, oh, well, they must have a reason. They admitted it, so it's no secret. You know what I mean? Despite the fact that they've been lying about it for 50 years. It's just, it blows my mind. Probably mm-hmm. less than that, actually. But the interesting tie-in is when Edward Snowden in 2013 revealed the documents that showed that they were literally tapping in to Google and Yahoo, the data centers, and collecting millions of personal records on Americans, mm-hmm. right? Then we come to the next stage of this, where the NSA publicly announces that they're ending that program, right? No, yeah, everyone look the other way. We're going to discontinue from here on. And they never stopped anything, right? And how do we know that? Because a month down the line, they announced, oh, well, we aren't stopping that program. In fact, we never did. And now we're sharing with everybody, which is just a joke.
Yeah.
So they announced that they're sharing with the FBI and CIA and the Alphabet Mafia as a whole. And so, I mean, just think about that whole progression. So they come out, they lie to us forever. Then they admit that it's true. Oh, we got caught. Here, it's true.
But we're not the only ones, because we shared it all.
Well, no, but first but we're going to stop. So don't pay attention. We're going to stop. And then either everybody was aware they weren't stopping, or whatever, the lie was so transparent, they said, well, we never did stop, but now we're sharing with everybody. It's just, how do you, like you just said, Dara, how can you see something like that and just let it fly over like, oh, well, they know what's best?
Well, because they have their toilet roll on their left-hand side of the toilet, so they always wipe their left hand. They never know what's on the right.
True. They just don't want to see it at the end of the day.
I mean,
this is a good parallel for, I mean, anything in the government when it comes to this technology aspect. Now, think about all of the you know, we were talking about the facial recognition software in Las Vegas with the billboards, your phone, your speakers being automatically turned on. I mean, these kind of things. Think about the fact that they're lying about this, and now we're talking about having all these technology being forced into our world where they can turn, you know, I mean, they could basically spy on us 24/7 at this point, from our computers, from everything. And the bottom line is that they are lying about it up until this point, about just basic you know, data mining. So we can almost assume at this point that it's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the reason may be, whether, oh, we're combating terrorism, which they obviously are failing at. They continue to not be able to do anything about any of these things. But it does, there's just no, it's a constitutional violation. That's what we always have to hinge on. We have to remember that the only thing that we have as people, a power to combat the government at this point, is the Constitution. The constitutional rights that we have as Americans, and not even just because of the Constitution. Those are rights as humans. The Constitution just outlines what we should have rights to.
Oh, I just thought of something.
What's that?
War on terror, right? Mm-hmm. So now just put a comma after on. War on terror. You don't ever hear war against terror.
Right, yeah. Well, that's the thing about those kind of wars, whether, you know, war on terror, war on drugs, it's a war on an idea. You're never going to end the idea of drugs. You're never going to end the idea of terror. And that's what I think is so crazy, that we can go along with this arbitrary war on an idea like it's going to do something. All we've done is continue to create problems throughout the rest of the world. I mean, look at how ostracized the American society is from the rest of the world at this point.
Yeah.
Like, we're the most hated country in the world at this point. I mean, and that's no secret. It's almost a joke now. We laugh about it.
The Bahamas just warned all their tourists going overseas to... Right. United States.
I'm so glad you brought that up. I just saw that as well. How funny is that?
Wow, the Bahamas.
I mean, if you guys haven't seen that article, they came out, basically the Bahamas warned their citizens about going to the United States, which is hilarious, because the United States historically has warned people about going to the Bahamas many times.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, the article I wrote not too long ago called the Police State, we did along with the article, The Police State, The Rising of a Third World Nation. It's interesting to see the United States is almost becoming a third world nation at this point. We have other countries warning their people about coming to our country. I mean, they literally warn their entire country about, you know, dealing with our police force and how we have police that are out of control.
Yeah,
it's interesting. Yeah. I mean, think about that whole shift. You know, we used to be considering ourselves this, you know, pretty much the best country in the world.
Our dollar has 3% of the purchase powers it originally did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pretty soon they're going to be printing $1 million bills just so we can get a cup of milk.
I don't doubt it at this point. But I mean, look at all those lines along the way. I mean, everything, all these markers that we're seeing, the police state, the loss of civil rights, the civil unrest, these are all precursors for third world nations. I mean, it's shocking to see, but that's what we're heading to. It's kind of scary, really, but that's what we're seeing with the rise of. I mean, I think that the people rising up is like the society standing against that. Like, we don't want this to happen. We don't like your police state. We don't like you intruding on us, but the police come back and shoot people.
Yeah.
That's what ultimately is happening at this point. Yeah, but that's one thing that I think can't be denied. The NSA spying on people, the NSA, or just alphabet mafia intruding into our lives, is something that was once completely discounted as crazy, but now obviously true. There you go.
I remember back, I don't really know when, but anyway, all those agencies, they were quite separated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it took a lot to work side by side with somebody from another agency, agent to agent, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're all, you know, pretty much uniformly combined as far as data sharing.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that lead to in the eventual overhaul of the one world government? You know, it's already all there in place. It's ready to go.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I definitely. I mean, it's a good point. I'm surprised when I first saw this, because you're right. Typically, all these agencies are like different, completely different governing bodies. Like, they don't even participate. They don't share information because they want to get that. You know, it's kind of ridiculous.
This is my jurisdiction.
Yeah,
this is my collar.
Don't worry about the Americans being hurt and things like that and solving crime. I want to get the collar. It's crazy. But you're right, though. But I do think that to some degree they are still staying separate. But that's a scary precursor for sure, leading into the idea that they're going to kind of mesh into one big massive agency that's going to be controlling us.
BB. BB.
Right? Very Orwellian. But the next one that pops up to me, and this is one that I'm seeing, you know, it's one that's been around for, this is probably one of the oldest ones, really, that people consider to be still even a conspiracy theory, is the idea of water fluoridation. And that's one that is blatant. Like, they talk about it. This is no secret today. But what I still find crazy is that many still actually question that it's even in the water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll talk with someone, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. It's like, no, it's not. They're very open about the fact that they're now putting fluoride in our water. But now they just claim that it's safe for us. In trace amounts, it's not a problem. But see, in my opinion, that's the conspiracy that's now being revealed today. Not just that it's there. but that's unhealthy for us. Very
plus thousands of ADA, American Dental Association, dentists has actually come forward. They like started speaking out against fluoridation and fluoride, especially cleaning your teeth.
Yeah, definitely. And that's pretty shocking right there. You have dentists that are coming out and saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, that should be alarming to
anybody. It doesn't actually help your teeth.
It doesn't.
Enamel.
Right? I mean, I think it was Collective Evolution put out a really good article where they highlighted the fact that the government themselves, not too long ago, openly came out and said, okay, we made a mistake. We're going to pull back on the fluoride level.
Yeah.
Because everybody was getting the whitening of the teeth. There's an actual name for that. If I find it, I'll bring it up. But there's a name for the process where your teeth get the white covering, and it's from fluoride from that instance.
Yeah.
But that's the precursor for other bad things. But they claim that that's the only problem that can happen. And in my opinion, that's a big enough problem anyway. I don't remember voting for fluoride in my water.
No.
Well, you know, why did it become okay for chemicals of any kind to be just kind of arbitrarily added for what they think is the best interest for us?
Yeah.
I mean, that ties in with all the medical stuff we always like to talk about. It should be our choice to have anything like that put into our body.
Well, it's part of public utilities, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Or at least it was.
You talking about just water in general?
Yeah.
Yeah,
The treatment centers.
You're right, though. It's probably being privatized at this point in a lot of ways. But yeah, it's called dental fluorosis. That's what it's called.
Dental fluorosis.
The CDC reports that around 40% of Americans right now have dental fluorosis. It's the change of appearance of the tooth enamel from fluoride.
Hmm.
I mean, think about that, 40%. I mean, that's, you know, let's just say that's the only problem that comes about. We don't know the long-term effects of all this heavy fluoride. And then we've talked in the past about where that comes from, right?
Yeah.
That's shocking in and of itself.
Nuclear byproduct.
Mm-hmm. And just the idea of the Nazi connection, Project Paperclip, and the scientists and what they were doing, kind of this unnatural science that we just rolled into our own society.
Yeah.
Very interesting. But yeah, I'm going to read off a couple of these interesting side effects. There was actually a Harvard study, believe it or not, that funded by the National Institute of Health, that confirmed that fluoride actually lowers the IQ of children. And this is Harvard Medical. So this is not some joke study, right? And so these are the kind of things that they're just denying. It's like, since when did we deny what Harvard Medical comes up with, right? I mean, that should be just like, absolutely. Even though any of them should be taken with a grain of salt, just because that's the way science is today. But it's Harvard Medical.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's one that they rely on when it proves their point. But it's the other way around. It's, oh, no. But they showed that all the IQs of children, all these areas, the biggest areas with the highest fluoride fluorosis, or the dental fluorosis, had documentable lowered IQs in the children.
Well,
that's shocking. I mean, that's what we
talk
about.
At least they got white teeth.
Yeah, right? But that's what we talk about, it be the purpose of it, right? To kind of pacify people.
Yeah.
I mean, that right there in itself is a form of pacification. But there's been additional studies that have found negative effects on fluoride on the human brain. Essentially, they reduce the receptors in the brain and their ability to perceive things. Damage to your hippocampus, formation of beta amyloid plaques, reduction in lipid content, damage to Purkinje cells, exacerbation of lesions induced by iodine deficiency. I mean, these are things that have been documented. Like, this isn't a joke. And now these are things that they just cast aside. Nope. It's only dental fluorosis. That's all you got to worry about.
How about calcification of the pineal gland?
Exactly. Now, that was going to be my
final
point.
Is that on that list?
It is. It's the very last one. What they call it is accumulation of fluoride in your pineal gland.
Oh.
But now here's the crazy thing. This is what Patrick Roddy talked about in his show about chemtrails. And this is why I wanted you to remember the aluminum in our atmosphere. Because what happens when you combine fluoride with aluminum is it calcifies your pineal gland.
Yep.
Now, think about that. Think about what that does. Now, if you don't know what the pineal gland is, a lot of people think it's kind of your third eye, which is what I talked about in the intro as far as going past the star Sirius and how it affects the way that we perceive things. And so if, let's just say hypothetically, that we're heading towards Sirius once again and that the government is aware of our growing understanding of things and that this would be their action to try to pacify us or calcify our pineal gland so we're not perceiving things. Now, I know that's a really abstract thought for a lot of people, and I'm not saying that is a fact, but the idea of aluminum and fluoride having an effect on your pineal gland, is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about that combination of adding two foreign things that most people contest by the government that just happen to form in your pineal gland and cause this problem.
Yep.
That's too big of a coincidence. It just seems like an obvious objective to me. But that to me is the biggest. That was the shocking thing when I heard Patrick Roddy talk about that. It all clicked together in my mind.
Like, you know what's crazy to think about too that I just thought of?
What's that?
The pine cone, not pine cone, acorn. Mm-hmm. Has always been like a symbol, symbolical, whatever.
Yeah. Symbolical, yeah.
It's always been the symbol for the pineal gland, right?
Yeah.
Well, what is the largest gold, maybe bronze, statue in Basilica in the Vatican?
I don't know. What is it?
Giant acorn.
Oh, how weird. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's actually funny. You're right. Don't they have like that acorn shape on top of his staff as well?
That too, yes.
Interesting. Yep. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this too. You break open the pineal gland itself, and it actually looks like an eye, which is pretty weird.
It's got a retina, the vitreous fluid.
Very interesting. You know, so think about what that could actually have. If what we're doing on a daily basis is actively keeping our third eye shut, that's pretty shocking. I mean, the idea of fluoride in your water is happening. So that is not a conspiracy theory. No matter what your neighbor wants to tell you, there is fluoride in your water, and it is high levels at this point. And they're actively trying to bring it down because they've overdone it at this point. And that is just too much for me. I don't want any. Like, remember Jared on our Cure Your Cancer show had adamantly talked about getting the reverse osmosis machine for your water.
Right.
I highly recommend that for anyone listening. That is something that I'm actually in the process of getting myself to combat my own problems, is to keep the negative things out of your body.
Well, you also have to get the 4 or 5 stage filter or whatever to help put back the good nutrients and stuff that you need.
There you go. And that is very important. I highly recommend that. I mean, in fact, I will make sure I put some information in the show notes to check out where to find that stuff. Very interesting.
Cool.
Now, the next one for me is one, obviously, I've talked about a lot, so we can skim over it for the most part, but there's definitely some information in there that is, I would say most Americans are already aware of, but I think it's necessitates it being included in this list is cannabis and the medical benefits. Still right now, which I find just ridiculous, there are plenty of people, especially officials in public, in, you know, serving the people, that adamantly deny that it still has any medical benefits. Not to mention that it's still a Schedule I substance.
And not to mention they probably smoke in their own home.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's happened a bunch, where people that are the champions of opposition to marijuana get caught with marijuana. It's a joke. I mean, it's all politics. They're trying to progress their own career. Mm-hmm. And they know that that's a hot topic point, you know? But, you know, the idea of a Schedule I substance, by definition, is the fact that it has zero medical value and is highly addictive. Two things we have demonstrated time and time again to be ridiculously untrue.
Yeah.
But so today we're still talking about that. And I think, like, how can we not acknowledge the fact that cannabis at least have, I mean, let's even say, let's take it 50 steps back and say, okay, well, we can treat glaucoma. We can treat pain. Where obviously the real possibilities for cannabis are way better than that. But that in itself is a medical treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're already saying it doesn't have any, that's ridiculous to me. And also not to mention the fact that, the government has its own patent for the medical use of cannabis, which is just a joke. So we've been sending people in world high records to jail for cannabis when the government has a patent for the medical use of cannabis. I mean, explain that to me. I don't even understand how that can happen.
All I can say is government. Latin means control your mind, so.
Well, there you go. That's a good explanation in itself. It's the idea that they don't want us growing our own medicine. I mean, we've talked about that as well. And the idea that
can't grow our food, can't grow our own medicine.
There you go.
We're too stupid and childlike to take care of ourselves, which actually is how they view us.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt
it. I mean, because legally, we are considered pretty much wards of the state. We're children in the eyes of court until we say otherwise.
Hmm.
That's what most people don't know.
Yeah, we should even do a show on that at some point. The idea of the misunderstanding of legal terms and what they actually mean.
It'll blow your fucking mind. I'll tell you that.
Like we talked about the car, that was one that I didn't even know until you brought up, Derek.
Yeah.
The idea of the legal term is actually a mode of, what is it, what'd you say, a mode of transportation versus.
Well, it varies from state to state, but either a motor vehicle.
That's right. Okay.
Or because, like, you know, I think I said a car or whatever that's considered a device of commerce.
Exactly.
You know, you're transporting commerce, and that's why the DMV California Transportation Code book has transportation in it. It mm-hmm. has everything to do with commerce. So technically, legally, if you know how to fight it, not a single law in that book applies to you or I.
Yeah. And well, especially just because I was extremely curious after that, because I was surprised. I was like, oh, that's a very interesting dynamic there. And mm-hmm. I looked it up and verified the fact that it's there. And then we even saw that video where the guy was talking to the cop about this.
Right.
And he even backed down. He said, no, this is not a motor vehicle. This is a mode of transportation.
Right.
Because it's not about commerce. He's transporting himself. And he immediately backed down. And I was baffled by that. I was like, I can't believe that. First, because I was surprised the cop even knew that difference. But apparently he did. He was aware of it.
There are actually quite a few, probably a few hundred videos out there of stuff like that, those types of encounters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting more well known. But, you know, like the couple articles that you brought up last week and the week before about cops not needing to know the law,
mm-hmm.
it may not even matter anymore.
I mean, it doesn't at this point. That precedent's already set. The Supreme Court set that precedent when they passed that ruling. So essentially the police don't have to know the law or even pull you over for a valid reason to, as long as they catch you with something. They made that precedent when they let that happen, and that's pretty scary. I mean, that is more than anything we're really seeing. That, like, those kind of legal precedents are a huge step towards a police state, because it actually gives them legal precedent to then continue to take that unconstitutional action.
Yeah,
that's more shocking than anything we talk about. But it doesn't seem that way at face value until it actually starts happening, like the civil asset forfeiture.
Yeah,
you know, once that happened, now it's rampant. Now police are just hunting down marijuana criminals to be able to steal their belongings,
mm-hmm.
to go buy their fancy MRAP tools, and it's pretty crazy. Yeah, but that's, you know, that's another one we should bring up, is militarization. But that's obvious at this point.
Yeah,
but yeah, going back to cannabis, it's one the idea of, like, CBD, let's say, is something that has been demonstrated by Harvard Medical, by the way. They came out a long time ago. Literally, the headline was "Cannabis Cures Cancer" by Harvard Medical. But don't look at that one, right? Because that doesn't mean anything. but they you know, CBD and all these different things, the combination of it, even hemp in itself, all these things have extremely high medicinal value. Just from, I mean, you name it. We've talked about this from PTSD to Alzheimer's to schizophrenia to all these different things, to seizures that have been documented time and time again. I mean, curing cancer, in my opinion, is the biggest one. We just talked about that. But there's been people that have demonstrated exactly Jared specifically. I know we didn't get into too much last week about his actual curing of his own, but he told me he had a tumor right on his spine. And he cured it with everything we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do anything, didn't get chemotherapy, didn't even go see a doctor, did it all on his own, and it's completely cured. I mean, you know, yes, that could be one freak occurrence, but it's not when you line up the thousands of parents and children that have been doing it for the last 10 years. More than that, really.
How do you know it was a cancer tumor?
Well, that's a great point. That's a great point. But he might have actually gotten a check, because he's the one that told me it was a tumor. So I'm assuming he probably got it verified by somebody.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he didn't go to a doctor to get it
removed,
to surgery, to chemotherapy, any of that stuff. But it's, I mean...
Shoot, I'd rather do cut anything near my spine.
Oh, for real. Exactly.
I'll do everything else first.
I mean, that's why I myself am not taking part in the surgery aspect before I give... I mean, even really ever. I don't think... Unless this becomes a real problem for me, I'm not going to do surgery at all. Because I've been told that once you cut it and it spreads the cells, that's how it spreads the rest of your body.
Exactly.
And then your recurrence is almost guaranteed after the next 3-4 years.
Yep.
But... yeah, it's one thing that I highly recommend that everybody out there finds a way to access cannabis at a whole plant level and smoke it if you want, because that's fun. But grind it up, juice it, eat it. Those are the things that give you the real value. You know what I mean? That's what you really gain from it, is to get that natural benefit.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing how much it completely interacts with your endocannabinoid system, which is a naturally occurring system in the body. It's amazing. I mean, it's called the entourage effect, with all the chemicals mixed together, and it's brilliant. I mean, you watch it. Actually, just type that into your browser when you get home, and the entourage effect, and look at how it works on your body. It's a miracle. It literally is. It's better than anything else you can put in your body at this point, and it's just being completely stifled.
And if you'd like alternative to the alternative methods of consuming it, they also have suppositories.
Yeah, I'll leave that to you. But... yeah, cannabis is one that I'm very passionate about, as you all can tell. But I highly recommend that everybody gets on that train, because that's something that is probably the best thing to actively combat cancer. Treating cancer is one thing, but combating cancer, if it actually coming on in the first place, natural cannabis, in my opinion, is probably the best route to take.
Yep.
All right.
No doubt.
But the big one that we always talk about on the show, the next in the list here, is vaccines. That is one that is, that's a hard one to talk about on this show specifically because we're talking about theories that have turned out to be true. But I definitely am adamant about the fact that vaccines being potentially dangerous are completely verified.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is that it's actually been just discounted at this point. They say, oh, I actually saw a really great speech by Del Bigtree, who is one of the champions of this vax movement. He's the producer of the movie. Had an amazingly powerful speech that I'll include in the notes, where he talked about the fact that, well, we talk about the connection to autism, despite the fact that the CDC whistleblower came out and said, we committed fraud, point blank, that they say, well, that's settled, right? That's how he said, that's settled. But that's ridiculous. And I love how he says, science is never settled. How do you can say science is settled? This is something, it's an ongoing process. You know what I mean? Like the idea that science is just all of a sudden settled. We know, that's right, the world's flat. No one ever look at it again, we know.
Yeah.
You know, it's not how science works. And the fact that we're saying that it's settled and we no longer need to look at it is a red flag within itself.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't deny the hundreds of thousands of parents across this country and across the world, for that matter, that are talking about adverse reactions that can't be denied.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we've spent out $3 billion plus on actual adverse reactions from our vaccine court that doesn't get discussed. So that in itself right there demonstrates possible side effects. And look, we're not trying to say vaccines are bad. Like, everyone wants to jump on that polarized discussion. But just the fact that there are potential negative side effects and that people should have a choice. That's not crazy. That's the freedom of this country that used to exist, but it's no longer there. To me, that is one of the biggest ones because it has been revealed true, but is adamantly being called a conspiracy theory to this very moment.
I think what people need to do, too, as well, is extrapolate the ratio that they're taking into consideration here in the United States locally, which is not a good study field. You need to take the world in consideration. Like, how many other countries, I think we talked about this before, like Sweden or Norway or something, they have 1 in 100,000 results of autism from their vaccines.
They only get
6 or 7 vaccines.
Right.
We have over 60 vaccines. Up to whatever age it is, doesn't even matter, 60 vaccines.
Well, remember, they're actually trying to make that go into the old age now. That's what they're trying to push for.
So, but now we've got 1 in 10 with autism.
Right.
It's insane. So you have to really take in consideration when you're doing this kind of research for the whole, taking every country considered.
Right. As well as the fact of the combination in the United States, right? They don't, like we've talked about before, is that every drug that's tested is done with a double-blind placebo test.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the only real way to test anything accurately. Every drug in this country, except vaccines. What sense does that make? I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Well, I mean, if you take the money out of the picture, then yeah, it makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, I mean, but even, right? Exactly, because money is what it always comes down to at this point. But that to me is an obvious red flag. And then you take into consideration the idea that all that the Vax documentary was trying to talk about was that the MMR vaccine, which is a combination of 3 vaccines, have never been tested together.
That's insane right there.
It's ridiculous. I mean, that's just that's one of those things that should be, anyone should hear that and go, well, that doesn't sound safe. You know what I mean? You're going to give me 3 vaccines that are combined and that aren't safe at all. I mean, that should blow anybody's mind. But they talk about that adamantly on the show. The simple idea that they're not tested as well as not tested on pregnant women, even though that they now recommend, or they have for a long time, that pregnant women get vaccines during that time period. It's just, it's astronomical. But yeah, vaccines are one that really stand out to me personally, because I mean, I've seen specific things happen to people. I mean, but you shouldn't even get into personal dynamics here, because really it comes down to what we're seeing across the country with this movement. I mean, the vaxxed idea in general has been continuing to grow, and has parents all over the world are speaking out. And I mean, that in itself should be something that really highlights the issue. I mean, look at it this way. Let's say, for conversation's sake, that the idea of vaccines being dangerous is false. With all the parents standing up across the world, across the country, with demonstrable problems that don't really make sense from a medical perspective, why isn't it given attention? Why isn't the government at least giving it its due attention and saying, well, we'll at least investigate this? But they don't. They throw it under the rug and they forget to look at it. It just goes away. I mean, that to me is just more ridiculous than anything we're talking about today, because it shows you that they just don't care what's going on in your life. But vaccines are one that I think everyone should be wary of, and that any person out there who's got a child, or even for yourself, do your own research and consider other options before you just lump in with what the doctor tells you you have to do. Because that in itself is scary to me.
Do what the doctor ordered.
Yeah, always say that, right? I mean, it's the doctors, again, are not someone that just always has the right answer. Yes, they're educated, but even if they, someone was even demonstrating the doctors these days are much less educated in diagnoses and treating than they are to memorize what to say in certain situations. Oh, you know, oh, you have this? Well, here, this is the pill for that. I mean, to memorize what you're supposed to say is not intelligence, really. I mean, it's a form of intelligence, but it's not critical thinking.
I remember growing up when I was, you know, younger. We had a family doctor, a general practitioner doctor, knew everything. He did everything. You need your blood drawn? He did it. Mm-hmm. You know, you need a vaccine? He would do it. He did everything, and he had all the knowledge. That was the last doctor ever that I came across that was doing that.
Yeah. And it's sad, really, because it's, you know, they should be... I wanted like the old classic doctor that's been, you know, trained in every aspect. I mean, kind of a jack of all trades in a way.
That's how this guy was, Dr. Jim Luters.
Right. I mean, you know, they have specialized, you know, specialists for different things. I mean, I want that doctor that's not just going to hand me prescriptions. I mean, think of how often you go into the doctor today, you're leaving with a prescription. I mean, that should be kind of weird in itself. I mean, what happened to any of the number of treatments that could possibly happen? I mean, these holistic treatments have thousands of years of proven efficacy.
And they don't even look you in your eyes. No, right. Watch that next time. Yep. You see that.
You just say a certain word, anxiety. Oh, well, here's this. Yep. You know, and that's they're trained to parrot it out. Here's what you get. And again, I'm not trying to say that doctors are just stupid or don't know what they're talking about. There's plenty of great doctors out there. But the point is you just don't trust it at face value. You do your own research. Become an educated person, an informed person, and then make these decisions. Well, the last one I want to go over today, at least on this list, and remember, we will revisit this and go over some more because there's a lot of these. But the one that everyone should be aware of today, that it's one that I'm actually baffled by the numbers I've seen, but the idea that elections are being rigged in this country. And I don't see how anybody can hear that title and not be like already jumping, oh yep, that's happening, I know it's happening, I've seen it with my own eyes. But people still choose to lump in with this two-party paradigm, which is just it's laughable, really, because it's being demonstrated time and time again throughout this election season that there are obvious things happening that are, you know, whether they're breaking the rules or just blatantly, I mean, cheating left and right. But right now I'm seeing that 90% of this country are basically saying that they feel that they're being cheated, that there's, you know, being rigged or whatever, however you want to say it. 90%? I mean, what happened to, I mean, the idea of the majority rules in this country used to be kind of the what we're building on, but now it doesn't happen anymore. It's, you know, in any one of these aspects. I think 70% of the country wants, you know, GMOs labeled. I mean, it goes on and on and on, but we don't take that action anymore. It's based on what the politicians want in their little circle. But we've seen everything from the coin flips with Clinton and the super delegates to the you know, I mean, I actually saw a ballot with the Clinton symbol already on it, if you can believe that. They were giving this out in one of these states where the literally had Hillary Clinton for to whatever pointing towards the Democratic Party right on the top left. How is that considered okay? You know what I mean? Like that in itself is obvious tampering with the voters.
Yeah.
Then you take into consideration the fact that Bill Clinton was going to polling, at least once, went into a polling station and was talking to voters. I mean, that is specifically against the law. People even signed a petition to try to get him arrested for that.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I think there was like over 100,000 signed names on that. I mean, that is blatant, but it gets disregarded. I mean, I think the biggest one to me was the idea that I think it was Delaware, I'm not sure exactly, but they chose to do away with the popular vote. And let the inner circle decide the what they were going to pick for the primary. Jeez. You know, and then that was the one that they even released that tweet that said we did it #NeverTrump. And this was the whole. I mean, public officials putting out that kind of thing, saying that they were choosing to manipulate. And then actually he deleted that tweet immediately, but it got saved, and it's, you know, everyone's talking about it.
Wow.
But there's obvious tampering going on, and I mean, this is something that should be on the front page of everything, but it's not. You know what I mean? Like the, you know, democracy dead. But no, we're not going to see that kind of title anymore. Mm-hmm. But there's a great article we have on Last American Vagabond that's that's pretty much just a rundown of, I think the title is Rigged, 2016 Election Has Voters Feeling Helpless. And there's actually another one that talks about the top six possible things that are happening in this that are proving that this being rigged. I mean, it goes on and on and on. But I don't see how anyone can see what's happening today and still think that we have a Democratic election.
Yeah,
me personally. Shit. I don't know. But I think that's one that's being obviously demonstrated today that shows that what we're doing, it doesn't even matter. I mean, obviously we've been saying vote no on 2016 for the last so many months. I mean, you know that we feel that way. But I adamantly believe that unless you go out and make another choice, whether that be Libertarian, Green Party, or simply don't vote, we're never going to see a change in this country.
I heard Gary Johnson was running again.
Really? You mean, for Libertarian, you mean?
I don't know.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. I believe he's the front runner for the pick for the Libertarian Party.
That was the last.
As well as Jill Stein for the Green Party, and you know, there's definitely other candidates out there.
Yeah.
I honestly was hoping to see McAfee make it in there, but I haven't read if he just dropped off or not, or if he's still trying. But it's almost impossible to be the runner up candidate for the Libertarian Party, or even the candidate for the Libertarian Party, to combat the two party paradigm at this point. It's almost impossible, really.
Yeah.
But there are so many topics showing up today. This is just a couple cherry picked ideas that we want to discuss to show you that there are plenty of things that have been labeled conspiracy theory for the longest time that are actually true, that you know that are still to this day disregarded as fake because of the perfect manipulation of perception by the CIA. And we need to be aware of that. That, you know, not only that these things are true, but the simple fact that they are attempting to manipulate your perception.
Mm-hmm.
That should shock people.
And if you've got a knee-jerk reaction to any of these topics from today, you need to really question your own foundation, your sense of logic when you hear these things, because if you have a knee-jerk reaction for anything to start, then you don't have the proper way of thinking. You don't have the proper logical processes to determine whether or not something is true or false.
I mean, you really need to be able to take anything and critical thinking is so important.
Yeah.
You don't just react to something. You know what I mean? You need to be proactive, not reactive. You need to be thinking about these things beforehand and consider your own ideas. Is that that's what they want. They want you to be pre-programmed with, I say this, you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening with a lot of people today. But you know, like we've talked about, a lot of people are waking up as well today. And that's scaring them. And I think that's why they're scaling up the divide and conquer, more chemtrails, more fluoride. I mean, all these things are increasing for a reason. And they want us to be divided. I mean, the more that we focus on each other, the more that we talk about, Black Lives Matter and all this and back and forth.
Oh, don't get me fucking started on BLM.
Well, I mean, but again, it's a good topic because, yes, Black Lives Matter is funded by Soros for the most part, but there are good people in any movement. Just like we talked about Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah, and they're getting led to the firing squad too. Because
exactly.
I mean, did you see the leaked emails by BLM organizers?
I think so. Which one? I think
the one saying that they are trying to start these riots.
Oh yes. Well, okay, but again, that, I mean, not to say it is or isn't, but that very well could be a plant. You know what I mean? That could be designed to initiate this kind of disorder. But nonetheless, like for instance, we talk about the Occupy movement.
Yeah.
Where it was later revealed that it was infiltrated by the FBI from way early on.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that the people out there weren't still trying to enact change, weren't still trying to do something good.
Yeah.
But at the top, they were going to lead them in a dead end. But basically what they did is they intentionally made it seem as if the whole movement was just this loosey-goosey young thing that didn't mean anything.
Right.
But there were people that were very passionate.
The hippies are back.
Exactly. There were some very, very intelligent people that were trying to get seen but just weren't getting any attention from the mainstream media. But just like the Black Lives Matter movement, there are people within this that are simply fighting for equality. Not, you know, the idea is it's not only Black Lives Matter, but that Black Lives Matter. And we have to agree with that. All lives matter. But we shouldn't retort with all lives matter because it's kind of, pacifying the idea that there's racism in this country, because there is racism in this country, which we're seeing in all the shootings and all these things that are happening.
And leave it up to the rich white folk that did start this group, right?
Yeah, exactly.
To benefit and, you know, reap the rewards of labeling it Black Lives Matter. How nice that this organization starts soon after all these police brutality videos become mainstream popular and are seen everywhere. There's millions of these videos now. All of a sudden, Black Lives Matter comes out. So, yeah, they're going to jump on that bandwagon and make a few million at it.
Absolutely. But again, remember that there are good people. They're just trying to spread equality. Not only Black Lives Matter, but Black Lives Matter, because they do. Just like our lives matter. But the idea is that people at the top are trying to manipulate that perception to make it seem like some terrorist organization like Rush Limbaugh wanted to call it, which is yeah. ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, again, there are good people in all these things. That, you know, you can see pictures of them marching with you know, different races within them, whether that be white or, you know, anything, Chinese or any of these different races walking with them.
Yeah.
So it's not about just one, but about equality for all. Because it's, anyone that can stand back and say right now that it is actually completely equal and that, you know, there is no racism in this country is completely blind.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that only one should matter, but that everyone should matter. So the idea is that don't let these people step in between and create a divide between the people. Because whatever race you are, whatever organization you're a part of, right now it's the establishment versus us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that matters. The only battle that really matters. It's they're fighting for your mind. And when you let them infiltrate your mind and think that you hate something or you know, hate any movement because they're against what you think, I mean, the idea is they're dividing us on purpose. Don't let it happen. Stand up. Inform yourself.
And use some common sense. When you're at these protests and you see this riot or whatever about to start or going on, you know, look around you. How many of the people do you know? How many of those people brought you there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who do you know there? Oh, that person is starting a fight, so I'm going to join in. That's not how you should work.
Right. It's the story of the agent provocateur.
Yep,
that have been proven time and time again. And there's a couple of good articles to check out from that as well. I mean, that's something that is actually proven. We have documented, you know, stories and pictures and video of police officers undercover actually initiating violence at protests.
Yep.
I mean, how can you justify that? There's no positive end to that. They're trying to initiate violence so they can come in and say, look at this crazy mass. They don't know. They're not a peaceful protest. They're causing problems. I mean, there have been times where they intentionally leave one police car in the mix when they obviously could have backed it out. And the idea is that they want people, and then they send in these provocateurs to bash the car up, and then everyone gets involved because they want to be part of something.
Yeah.
And it's just they're trying to make it seem negative when it's
really
not.
Look, those two people can't flip the car over. Let's go help them.
Yeah. I mean, it should be alarming, but that's what's happening today. But don't get mixed up with it. Be intelligent, people. But there's a couple of quick current events that I want to run over before we get into our conspiracy freestyle for the day. Now, right now, I think it doesn't really relate to extremely conspiracy theory topics, but there was a really interesting story that I saw where scientists discovered that humans actually have a magnetic sixth sense. What it means is that we have the ability to detect magnetic fields in the world. And that we can, if developed, are able to navigate the world using these magnetic fields.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty interesting, right? I mean, that's something
that
Until
the poles flip.
yeah, that's a great point. Until everything goes to shit and it's all over.
Right.
But yeah, I found that very interesting. And it's you know, to me, this would be something that I would be like, wow, that should be discussed. That's huge. That's paradigm shifting. You know what I mean? But it's not talked about. It's not to say that it's a conspiracy theory, but it just shows you where their importance lies. The news is full of shootings and drama and killing and beatings, and it's just all negative. They want you to see the negativity in the world when really we're evolving as humans, and it's very, very cool to me. I mean, there's a lot of animals that actually do that today that use the magnetic field. You know, dolphins, birds, honeybees,
and anything that migrates.
Some of them migrate from different ways, but yeah, a lot of them use magnetic fields, and it's very interesting that we could do that as well. I just found that very interesting that I thought people would be interested to hear.
Yeah, I think going further beyond that, the seventh sense, it might actually be a book, but that kind of talks about, so the sixth sense is actually something that we have, and the seventh sense is something that we can actually produce. I don't remember exactly what it is, but it's really fascinating. So
interesting. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that evolution is a real thing. If people evolve, they adapt. And to think that we won't eventually adapt to have something else that would guide us and help us survive in this chaotic world we live in is pretty, it's almost guaranteed, really.
Yeah.
We're going to evolve. But obviously there's been a lot of negative stuff in the news as well. And one of the big ones is all the shootings in Dallas and Minnesota and all these different things that are happening. But one of the things that I want to highlight is the idea of what happens in Dallas and the fact that they sent in what was a robot designed to disarm bombs, and they used it to detonate a bomb and kill the guy.
What?
Yeah, that's how they solved the problem. They ended up dying because they used they're calling it a killer robot. And a lot of people actually call it a drone, which makes it more interesting to think about, that they used a drone on U.S. territory to kill an American. But it's technically not a drone, because the definition of drone is actually only by air or sea, which is kind of silly. But a drone, in my opinion, is a robot. It's a drone, right? So they're sending in something like that to execute a man with no trial. They knew what they were doing. I get it, though. There is a discussion to be had, because he was shooting at people. He was killing people. So, you know, there is a lethal action there that needs to be taken. But the idea of what they did there should be shocking to people. That's a precedent in itself. Now we're talking about sending in robots.
Well, that happened because there was three cops killed.
Yep.
If it was five civilians killed, they probably would have
maybe not. But I mean, based on what's been happening in the country, I don't know. They've been pretty loosey goosey with their shooting too. So maybe they would have. But I agree. The fact that it was cops is what made it really, push it into that zone really quickly.
Yeah.
But the idea of a robot being used to kill a person, especially an American, without any due process, should be alarming, even if it's done for the right reasons in the moment, because it just sets a precedent for the militarization of police moving forward.
Yep.
We're going to start seeing robots now. And different. I mean, it's not hard to translate that into, let's say, them thinking you have a gun in your house and sending in a robot to take action because they're afraid for their lives. You know what I mean? Like, I know that seems crazy, but that's not that far of a jump.
No, it's not, and it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, we see you are a registered gun owner, so we're going to send in the drone attack dogs.
That's how they justify the things we talked about, like with the Australian pageantry lady with the flash grenade blowing up on her face, uh-huh. Or the other things like that. They justify it by saying that they looked at the records and saw that they had owned a gun. A legal gun, by the way. So they go in full force.
Yeah.
Like, that's how they justify it. But you're trying to arrest someone for a nonviolent crime, you're going in full force anyway. That's a joke. Yep. It's really a joke, but they like to show off their nice Iraq, Afghanistan hand-me-downs.
Well, exactly. That was one of the things that we mentioned a few shows ago about police militarization is mm-hmm. the fact that they got this cool shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not in the army. They don't get to use it every day. They just have it, sitting in their little desk drawers and car trunks, and they want to use it.
Oh, they're itching to use it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, they can't wait. Let's get the MRAP. Let's get the SWAT gear on.
Yeah.
I love it. And, I mean, and it's not hard for you to understand that. Like, that's cool stuff. You know, I get it. But you're using it on American citizens that have not broken laws. That's
yeah, but
crazy.
They don't have the cool shit, though.
Yeah.
I want to use the cool shit on non-cool shit users.
It's just, I don't know, it's the idea that I mean, if we can't look at that and say, I mean, that's literally militarization. That's not a joke. That's not like a comparison. That's actual militarization. You're putting on military gear and using it in live action. That's the militarization of the police. So we can't pretend like that's not happening. It's, verifiable. We can see it with our own eyes. It's scary to me. I mean, the idea of what we're seeing happen on a day-to-day basis should be alarming to anybody.
Yeah.
This escalation right now in this country, with the Bahamas warning their own people to come here, is seen by the world. And it should be alarming.
I would like to see what the other countries are saying about us as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know, Germany's not too happy with us.
No, half the world has been unhappy with us for a very long time. We're imperialist warmongers at this point. We're traveling the world and we're conquering countries. I mean, what is this, 1,000 years ago? Like, we're conquering countries is what we're actually doing. And that in itself is alarming.
I wonder why they're not doing anything about it.
Because we're the most militarized nation in the world. We have power.
Yeah, but there's been much less imperial powers invading people for centuries,
yeah.
And there's been revolts and uprisings all the time.
Collusion, maybe. Maybe they're all involved I wouldn't doubt that these people, they have made connections with all the right people, so they have the majority of the power in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, not even think, that's happened. They are, like, they have these deals with people around the world for whether it be oil or whatever debt, banking scenarios.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they're still connect together.
So you think, like, Vladimir Putin is Obama's poo-tang buddy?
No. I would say of all of them, they're the one that is right now are causing a problem.
Yeah.
And that's what I think, like, Russia, China, there's are two right now that they may have some kind of de facto underlying, deals that they keep, agreements, let's say. But especially Russia. I mean, right now we're in an arms race with them. We're escalating our nuclear stockholding and that, how is that not mainstream news?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what's happening right now. We've already talked about how we need to beef up our military to combat Russia, even though we have the biggest military in the world. Let's beef it up. spend more money. Over 50% of our budget spent on military spending. We need more. It's ridiculous. But on that lovely, lovely note, as we like to end on this show, let's go to Conspiracy Freestyle. Okay. Let's see. I hope this is one that perfectly lines up with the rest of the topics today. That'd be perfect. Let us see. What's peak oil?
Peak oil?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I want to look it up, or do you want...
P-E-E-K or P-E-A-K?
P-E-A-K.
Peak oil. I don't know, but I have heard the phrase.
Well, anyone out there knows, call in and let us know. I'm going to pick another one.
Yeah.
I'm sure that it's something to do with you know, maybe it has to do with the idea of oil reaching a certain breaking point where there's no more in the world. I don't know. But I do know that that's not true. The world is continually reproducing water and
yeah.
oil.
Yeah, the whole fossil
hey,
fuel nonsense.
That's funny. I just pulled chemtrails.
Oh, wait, we've already done that, though.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah, that was one of the ones that got put back in the hat.
Possibly. Oklahoma City bombing. Okay.
Okay, another federal building bombing.
Right. Now, you know, honestly, that's one that I'm not extremely well-versed on, but what do you got for conspiracy behind that? I'm assuming it would line up with the maybe FBI planned kind of thing or false flag narrative.
Well, yeah, I remember last week when you were talking about how, you know, the FBI... pretty much does everything except place the bomb.
Right.
You know, the hire the person and mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. That seems to be kind of what could be considered have happened at OKC, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of the building? I'm Marriott. Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Something I mean, federal building. But anyway, so yeah, there's plenty of witnesses that said they saw the van parked out front, yet the way the bomb exploded, it didn't go inward, it blew outward, so there's proof from one. They had removed two other undetonated devices from inside the building, and the first report was a bomb went off inside the building, that's why it blew out, not in. So okay. If it was the truck, then and also they had no... in the first week, they had no evidence of a truck actually exploding.
Mm-hmm.
And then, miraculously, a FBI agent was jogging one day a week later and found the rear axle.
Ah, okay.
Blocks away.
Right. I mean, it's funny. This just lines up with all, you know, these inconsistencies in the story.
Yeah. And also, the Oklahoma Federal Building, Oklahoma City Federal Building had, what was it? It was housing something there in the form of documents for tax purposes or something.
Ah, okay.
So that was the main reason why they think the government blew it up.
Do you know what it was, per se?
No.
I mean, it's just, you know, like any of these, like the 9/11 scenario or even the Pentagon, there's information that got destroyed.
Yeah.
So perfectly convenient.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, think of the odds of that on all three of those happening in the exact spot where the information they wanted to hide got destroyed. Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I actually saw a really interesting statistic that's you know, kind of backhandedly related to what we're talking about, where somebody was talking about the idea of, like, let's say, even like the actor scenario, like for the false flags.
These actors.
All these witnesses being revealed as actors on internet movie database.
Yeah.
And then even one step further is the idea of, like, let's say that kid that happened to be at three of the different, you know, he was in Paris, he was in Orlando, he was in, you know, I forget which three it was, but he was at three different of those terrorist attacks.
Whoa. Yeah.
But so that right there, the guy had the he did the math. This guy was like a mathematician.
Mm-hmm.
Mathematically, the statistical chance of him being at all three of those was like one in like 400 trillion. It was ridiculous. Yeah. And, it's funny we don't think about that because we just think, oh, whatever, anything's possible. But it's statistically almost impossible for this to happen, let alone happen over and over and over.
Yeah.
And it's what we're seeing.
You are more likely to hit by lightning 20 times first before you come across to or be at two terrorist events like that.
Yeah. I mean, but it's happened more than once. Yeah. And, you know, and we've even seen crisis actors at two different events. We've seen, you know, I mean, even the witnesses being actors is one that always kills me because it's not like, for instance, the Orlando shooting we talked about. It's not that crazy to think there was an actor inside that building.
Yeah.
But the fact that there's every witness they choose to use is an actor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. I mean, I almost want to be like, is that intentional?
Yeah.
Like, are they trying to do that to make us think? I mean, it's just like, that is just so dumb. I would think, what person is making that decision if that is meant to manipulate us? It's just, it's blind.
Well, they're not saying that they're not actors, but they're also saying that they not aren't actors. Well, yeah, so they're technically
leave it alone. Yeah,
yeah, they just don't mention it. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, like one of the parents from the Sandy Hook shooting. Yeah, he was also at two other events.
That one is crazy. I mean, that guy. There's been so much that's come out about that guy specifically.
Yeah,
he was an actor. He was in all these different movies, mm-hmm. and they denied that first of all. And he also was shown as the father of the kid, the one kid that they highlighted, and then they literally showed him at a different event in full military gear.
Yeah,
and this guy's an actor. He's a dad. He's not some military guy. At least that's what they're saying. And this is verified. This is him. And that's completely disregarded. They don't talk about it, but it's him. You can see it. It's not. And this guy's a very recognizable face.
Yeah,
it's just crazy to me that you can see that and that people still slow it off like, oh no, that's crazy. You guys are crazy. Adding to the conspiracy list, you know.
All I gotta say is, oh wait, here's a good idea. Couldn't you take screenshots of those photos, right, mm-hmm. of his face from different events? Upload them to your Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then tag that one photo as whoever. You know, just make some person up, right?
Okay.
And then obviously Facebook has that whole facial recognition thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the next picture that you bring up and you tag friends, it should automatically pop up as the same name.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you could test.
Oh, if it's actually him, you mean?
Or, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that it's pretty much conclusive at this point. I mean, you know, it doesn't even matter what his real name is or who he is. The idea is that he is posing simultaneously as a member of the military, mm-hmm. and as a victim of this crisis. And
yeah.
And they're not, you know, he's not. They would have said he was military. I mean, obviously they said he's not. He's an actor, and he's not a military personnel.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what he. I mean, it's blatant. I mean, the picture. I'll make sure to include that. It's blatant. You can see he's a full gear right next to the other picture. It's him. But it just throws in all.
Oh,
these
is that the guy that was walking back and forth during the news broadcasts?
I don't remember that. I mean, I know, but that reminds me of this whole thing with Sandy Hook, with the circle. Remember where they highlighted the fact that these people were literally walking out of the building, walking around the building,
exactly,
walking back in the door, coming back out the front door.
Yep.
Like it was like this train of people circling for like it just went continued and continued and continued. Like it's and there's no explanation for that. There's no explanation why these people would circle around over and over and over, but to make it look like there's action happening there.
Did you know on that same day, I can't remember the name of it, but St. Something Rose Elementary School in the next town over, I think it's Newtown,
mm-hmm.
Had a raid on a school at the same time.
For what purpose?
They never knew. They said a false alarm.
Hmm.
Or whatever, but you know, these SWAT teams went in full force to the school. It was on lockdown,
right? And that's, you know, that reminds me of the other parallel. There is the idea of the training, the drills.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's he made that same comparison in this statistical talk, that the statistical chance of there being a specific drill for, like, for instance, 9/11, doing drills for planes flying into the Trade Center while it's about to happen, and then have that happen on every single one. I mean, just one in itself. The idea of them having that training session for planes in the building on 9/11 in the same location is astronomically ridiculous. Like, there's no, I mean, it's impossible, yeah. right?
And yet it happens at Sandy Hook, Boston Bomb,
every one of them.
San Bernardino.
They're calling them what?
7/7.
Training drills, right?
Training drills, yeah.
They have training drills at every single one of these happening so they can be like, oh, good thing we were here.
Yeah.
It's like, that's laughable. But, you know. I mean, again, not to say that everything that comes up is fake, because there's definitely real crazy people out there. But
well, look, the first ones to respond to the Orlando thing was FBI agents.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
And again, also not to say that people don't actually die. You know, but there's plenty of these where it's possible that people didn't die at all.
That's not politically correct. It's called collateral damage, my friend.
Yeah, right. Yep. Yeah. Collateral damage. I think that is a good kind of parallel for our entire country at this point.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we're collateral damage at this point for their objectives.
307 million collateral damage cases.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Again, what a great positive note. But, I mean, really, really, I think that what we're trying to highlight here for you to take home is that these are called conspiracy theories. We are told that they're crazy. We're told that anyone that believes in any one of these things should not be trusted, right? That's what they want you to feel like. And then they want you to self-censor yourself, because they also say if you believe in this stuff,
you're going to be cast as a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
They want to scare you. You know, they want you to think that if you do, you're going to be ostracized. You'll lose your job. You'll lose everything. And that's what they want you to feel like. And it's not the case. I mean, what we're showing today is that all these things have been, at the very least, proven to be possible.
Yeah.
And if they're at least possible, and obviously they're true. I mean, all these have been proven true for the most part. But if they're even possible, they shouldn't be discounted the way they are. But they are. And that should tell
you
something.
And if you think Martin Luther King conspiracy, you know, killed by the government or whatever, was a conspiracy, shit, look up the court case in 1999. Right.
They got proven. The court case proved that they were involved at the very least.
Yep.
And that, I mean, same with the JFK and assassination. Yep. There's been documented proof that showed that they were at the very least complicit in what happened.
Yeah.
And that's documented. Look it up. But yeah, I mean, I think it's something to take home, guys. Make sure you check all this stuff out and make sure you research it yourself. Do your own research. Be informed. Don't let them manipulate your perception. Make sure you follow us on Third Eye Radio and TLA Vagabond. Always follow the change.
It's been going on that long. They have strontium, they have barium. It's acidifying water, it's acidifying the land. The ability to generate precipitation, fog storms on Earth, to modify space weather, and the production of artificial weather all are part of an integrated set of military technology.
They spray chemicals in the